Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about, and whatever you focus on grows. Chapter 7 of the Science of Getting Rich is a really interesting chapter. Some of the pushback on this book is I've recommended it to people. They'll say, Gerald, you know, I'm an atheist or I'm not a Christian. I understand that. You got to understand, when Wallace wrote this book over 100 years ago, everyone in America was a Protestant Christian, virtually. It's just part of our history, right? But Wallace was using language of his day, meaning he had to work within the construct of what he knew, but also the reader that was going to be reading it. So in chapter 7, Wallace talks about the idea of gratitude. And throughout the book, instead of using the term God, or he uses the term, where is it at right here? Hold on. Formless substance. You've heard me talk about, this is that stuff where prayers go. This is that stuff where the law of attraction sits. This is the stuff that you can't explain why things happen, right? It's the magic of the universe. It's what makes positive thinking work. What makes how some people seem to miraculously be cured. Things that we can't explain, he refers to this as the formless substance. This is the substance, like the black matter. This is the substance that created the universe. How did the universe come out of nothingness? I don't know. Makes no sense to me. And yet science will ask you to believe in a miracle and then ignore all others. It's one of the great paradoxes of science. Is science would ask you to deny all the miracles that religions proclaim, all religions, and yet they ask you to believe in one, the Big Bang. Meaning ignore all other miracles, but believe this one, that's all of this came out of nothing. It's tough, right? And I'm obviously not qualified to argue with science, but it is a paradox. And I don't proclaim to know the answers, but I know this. Everything came out of something I can't explain. And Wallace refers to this as the formless substance, or the universal mind. You might hear some people say, or some people just call it God. I mean, call it what you want to call it. It makes you feel better. Let me just start with this opening and then we'll go from there. The illustrations given in the last chapter have conveyed to the reader the fact that the first step toward getting rich is to convey your idea of your wants to the formless substance. In other words, you need to have a damn plan. If you want to get rich, you need to say it. I want to be rich. Okay, now that we've said it, we have to begin to take action steps. You have to begin to have a plan. That's what this idea that I teach on the three keys to a successful life: health, wealth, and mindfulness. This is what? This just points you that, hey, you need a plan. You need a plan for your health. You need a plan for your wealth. You need a plan for your mind. And if you don't have a plan that you're actively working in all three of these areas, you will fail. And if you're broke right now, it's because you didn't have a plan. No one sets out and has a plan to get broke. But not having a plan is the end result of that. Not consistently exercising, working out, minding your health, you know how that plan turns out. And so whether you know it or not, you have a plan right now. If you're not actively, consistently investing, you actually have no interest at getting rich. No one makes a million, I shouldn't say no one, most of us listening to this, if you're a blue-collar millionaire like me, we don't make $1 million. We accumulate $1 million. The only way you accumulate $1 million is with a plan. You have to have a plan. And that's what he's saying. The first step toward getting rich is to convey the idea of your wants to the formless substance. I got my dog with me today. This is true, and you will see that in order to do so, it becomes necessary to relate yourself to the formless intelligence in a harmonious way. To secure his harmonious relation is a matter of such primal and vital importance that I shall have some space of discussion here and give instructions which, if you follow them, will be certain to bring you into perfect unity with the mind of God or the universe or proper way of thinking. The whole process of mental adjustment and atonement can be summed up in one word. Gratitude. First, you believe that there is one intelligent substance from which all things proceed. Second, you believe that this substance gives you everything you desire. Third, you relate yourself to it by feeling of deep gratitude and profound gratitude. Three simple steps. One, believe. Now, there ain't a motivational speaker in the world that could argue with that. That in order to achieve, you must first believe that it's possible. See, in order to get rich, you must believe there's enough money for you to get rich. So if you sit around and you have this poor me attitude and a little man can't get ahead and there just isn't no opportunity available and everything's been outsourced and poor me, I can't live on Social Security, there is no way you can acquire riches. You can't get past the thought in your mind. Your own mind begins to create a stumbling block. And so all Wallace is saying in somewhat of a religious tone is, hello, you have to believe. Grant Cardone is famous for saying sticky notes, that money's just paper. If I was to change the word money to sticky notes, do you believe there are 1 million sticky notes in the world? You know, those little things you can pull off and write little notes on. Do you think there's 1 million of those in the world? Most people would say, yeah. He'd say, good. Next question is, who has my sticky notes? In other words, do you believe that you could pull $1 million out of the world and the world wouldn't miss a beat? I mean, I could pull $1 million right out of my town and no one will notice it. That's how much money there is. Do you believe that if you owned 25 houses or an apartment building with 25 units or a franchise with 25 locations, do you believe people would visit your store, people would rent your apartment building, or people would rent your house? Do you believe that would happen? If I gave you the houses right now, if I gave you the apartment, if I gave you the pizza franchise, do you believe customers would use it today? Of course they would. So we know it's possible. Now we just have to formulate a plan to get them, right? So that starts with belief. Common sense. But it's not so common. I run into this problem in network marketing. Do you believe there are 50 people in America who would join your program? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. Now let's just make a plan to get them. And so first we start with belief. Second, you believe that substance gives you everything you desire. What substance is he talking about? Formless substance. Formless substance. See, this is the magic. This is where you sprinkle the magic. Why does positive thinking have power? Why does belief in oneself work? I believe it's because something you're believing in something bigger than yourself. Call it God, call it efficient action, call it faith, call it whatever you want to call it. Wallace calls it formless or intelligent substance or formless substance. In other words, there's a source, there's a place where all good things come from. There's a place that we can tap into, that place where prayers go. That place where you can draw confidence from. Jesus referred to, I draw nigh unto thee, this idea of drawing on to God, of faith and whatever it is you believe in. It could simply be faith in the plan. This is why it's important that you do the math. You've heard me talk about, I'll often take my current stock portfolio value, I'll put it into a compound calculator, I'll put how much I think I'm going to continue to add to it or not add to it. Sometimes I'll do it as like, what if I never added another dollar? Where would I be in 10 years? Where will I be in 20 years? Where will I be when I'm 30? So when I'm 58, how much money will I have? When I'm 68, how much money will I have if I don't touch it? If I'm 78, how much money will I have? It gets real exciting at 78 when you're 48 and you run the numbers, if you have some money, right? Why do I do that? To remind myself, to believe, to remind myself that there's a plan. And that the more I focus on the plan and the more I believe, I mean, is it possible? Is there enough money in the world that if this compounding works at 78, I would have this much? Of course there is. There's a limitless supply. So then now I see the math. All I got to do is stick to the plan, right? And I have to believe. Third, you relate yourself to it by a feeling of deep and profound gratitude. Are you happy and content with what you have now? I teach this idea of being impatiently patient. Meaning I'm patient with the game plan, the big picture. I put out a newsletter every month where I talk about the 10 pillars of success. And one of the pillars is focus on the big picture. See, I'm cool with the big picture. The reason I'm cool with the big picture is one, as I believe, and two, I have faith in that belief. Faith without works is dead, so my faith is backed up with action. I believe in the big picture. I believe in the plan. I understand where power comes from. I understand where the power of positive thinking comes from. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful, one, that I was born in America and not Iraq. I've been to Iraq. It sucks. I'm grateful that I was born in America and not Afghanistan. Been to Afghanistan. It sucks. There's nothing good about it. Nothing. And so, one, I start with gratitude. Thank you that I'm here. Oh, here's another one. My eyes open today. That means I can live to fight another day. Means I live to fight another day. Thank you. This isn't always so easy. Pain, suffering, problems in life creep in. This one is the hardest one of all. To be grateful while seeking more. To be content while impatiently seeking more. To be patient with the long game, but impatient with the day-to-day. And so that's how I try to view it. I'm patient with the game. I'm patient with the plan. But I'm very impatient with myself. Because see, I realize if I exercise 5 days a week, week in, week out, year in, year out, I know where I'll be. But I have to be impatient with myself because sometimes I'm lazy. And I have to kick my own ass every day. It's not the plan's problem. It's not the system's problem. It's not that the system doesn't work. It's that I don't work the system consistently. And I run into this plan in network marketing. I sat down, penned down one of the greatest recruiting systems ever devised in the United States of America. People say, how can you say that? Because I've recruited over 100,000 people. And you haven't. So that makes it true. See, I tapped into this formless substance. The universal mind. And I pinned it out, and I ran the numbers, and I put together a strategy and a system. I was grateful I could read, so I studied. And at the time in my situation, I made less than $1,400 a month. And that sucks. And I was broke, and I hated it. I had a wife and kids. And then I read a book. And that book told me that all of the money that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbook, credit cards of other people. There is no supply limitations. It's unlimited. That you, if you pulled $10 out of every human being in America, you'd be a billionaire and they wouldn't even notice it. If everyone in America bought $100 worth of product from you, you'd be a billionaire and they wouldn't even notice they lost the money or spent the money. In other words, there's plenty of money. Plenty. There's just so few people with the plan. Most people go through life like a boat without a rudder, just reacting to the waves and the winds and getting pushed and thrown around. In my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, I talk about one of the biggest things you can do, one of the most, what's a good word to use here? One of the things you can do to drastically affect your future is to stop earning money. You're 65 years old and you stop earning money. Guess what? Poverty's right around the corner. Everything is a big deal. You're no longer grateful and you're living hand to mouth and you're living in this world of I don't have enough and there isn't enough. Of course you don't. You're not making any money. It's not what God intended. The intelligent mind, the formless substance, didn't have some grand plan that you would take nothing and sit home with nothing. It's not his plan. The book of Science of Getting Rich tells you very clearly, there's enough stuff in America alone to give everyone a mansion. There's enough raw materials, there's plenty for everyone. You just don't think so. You say, well, you can't live on Social Security. Yeah, you never could. That is a surprise? That is a prize? Your mission now is to look to the people behind you. Have you ever told your grandkids, hey, grandkids, don't do this. Don't live on Social Security. Don't do this. You ever spend any time telling them that? You should brainwash them of that. You should brainwash them into being investors so that they don't have to live on Social Security alone. It's your duty. It's your obligation to the people who come after you. But we lack duty and obligation in this country. Somewhere along the way, around a certain age, people feel like they no longer have a duty or an obligation, and life just becomes about them. I don't know what age that begins to happen. But I feel a strong sense of duty and obligation, not so much to my son. I'm going to affect my son because I'm so close to him. And I teach him the 3 keys to a successful life and the 10 pillars of success, and I give him everything he needs. It's right here, man. It's up to him to pick it up and use it. But his children, I can directly affect their life for the rest of their life. I can change my family tree by putting my thumb on them, not my children. When I die, my son will be old, hopefully. I can't change him, but his children, I could change it forever. I could make it so my family never had to work for money. And there's a poor man out there right now thinking as if somehow that would be doing him a disservice. Poverty talks like that. Well, they got to know how to earn a dollar. And they somehow glorify in the fact of how hard they've had to work to accumulate nothing. No glory in that. And you should work hard, absolutely. It's a character trait. There's no need to connect working hard with poverty. You can work hard and be rich. I work hard every day. Matter of fact, I outwork all my friends and I got more money than all of them. I work 7 days a week. Having money doesn't mean you don't work hard. Gratitude. People say, how could you work 7 days a week? Because I'm grateful. I get to work on my empire. The weekends are when I get ahead. Weekends are what made me a millionaire. It wasn't a business idea. It wasn't selling a whole lot of this. It wasn't doing that. It was putting in work when others were partying. It was putting in work when others were playing. I play. I play at work. I drink beer at work. I drink beer at work. I own the place. See what I'm saying? You can't drink beer at work. I can. Why? Because I own the place. I own my time. So when my eyes open, let's get to work. Let's get to work. I don't watch news to watch news. I watch news to see how my investments are doing. Just to keep up. I don't care who the president is. Now, I'm a conservative, but I don't care. The Book of Science of Getting Rich freed me from that. Who cares? The formless substance uses who it needs to use. Land barons and railroad barons and tycoons were needed so that we could spread these railroads across from one side of America to the other. We needed people that were hard asses. You think socialists would have taken the train from one end of America to the other? They'd have passed so many regulations from one side to the other and never been built. And so we needed people who didn't follow rules, didn't pay people very well to get the job done. And then we did away with them. Intelligent substance uses what it needs to use. In the Bible, God often uses evil men to do his bidding. Look it up. What does the Bible tell you about the king? Honor the king. Doesn't matter if you like the king. Doesn't matter. God put him there. That's what the Bible teaches. So if Hillary Clinton became president, God put her there, not you. Sometimes Christians forget that. It says it very clearly. That whoever's in charge, God put them there. Treat them as such. People forget that in their condemnation of each other. In other words, I don't care who's in charge. I'm going to build my empire. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. The world's not going to end, and I'm going to try to sell my product. I sell leads. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to sell leads to network marketers. If Obama became president again, I'm going to sell leads to network marketers. It's what I do. I'm going to look for undervalued houses so I can fix them up and rent them out to people who need houses. I'm going to look for undervalued stocks so I can buy yield. And I'm going to do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day because that's my plan. That's my path to building wealth. What's yours? See, you know you don't have a plan when you play the what-if game with the lottery and you don't have an immediate answer. In other words, if I gave you $1 million, what would you do with it? I already know what I'd invest it in. I play that game every day. I don't need a stupid lawyer. I don't need an accountant. People that need lawyers and accountants, they don't know what they're doing. So they think they need to go to a lawyer and accountant. They think they need a financial advisor. The reason you need a financial advisor is you ain't spent any time with your finances. The reason you need a financial advisor is you don't understand finance. Health, wealth, mindfulness, three keys to a successful life. Ah, now people push back. I'm telling you, there's nothing your financial advisor knows that I don't know. I don't have a college degree. I didn't go to a fancy Ivy League university. There is nothing he knows that I don't know. There's nothing he knows that you can't learn in a little bit of time. Nothing. You're completely smart enough to be a sophisticated, great, intelligent investor. It is so simple. Got an airplane flying over. I like recording outside so I can move around. Private jet. Now that's money. Private jet. Nice. But people like to suspend their control of their finances and turn it over to someone else so they have some sort of excuse when it goes bad. It's terrible. Take control of your finances. Watch them every day. Actively look for investments. And you say, well, how could that work? Easy. I just gave you the three steps. Step one, first you believe. Do you believe you're as smart as your investment advisor? Do you believe you're capable of reading eighth grade information and understanding it? Yes. Okay. Step two, you believe that substance gives you everything you desire. Do you believe that the stock market actually pays dividends? Yes. Okay. Step three. Third, relate yourself to it by feeling a deep, profound gratitude, meaning take action. Take action. The book, The Science of Getting Rich, covers every single area of life. You don't need another one. And any book that's been written after it, just copied it. Just uses it. Same information. Nothing new. Cardone doesn't teach anything this book doesn't teach. Gary Vaynerchuk doesn't teach anything this book doesn't teach. Tony Robbins doesn't teach anything this book doesn't teach. Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, Eric Thomas. Person to person to person. Rhonda Bernard, they're all teaching what this was written in this book 100 years ago. The reason your book, your business isn't bigger, it's in this book. The reason you're not richer, it's in this book. The reason your health plan isn't working out for you, it's in this book. The reason you're not a better dad, it's in this book. The reason you're not a better wife, it's in this book. Very simple book, very easy to read book. Has all the answers. All the answers. Hey, I hope you like the podcast. Tune in. It's just me talking. To be honest, I don't have anything to sell you. I've written some books. You can find out more about me at mailpostcardsfromhome.com. You can contact me on that form on the website. I'd be happy to send you. I've given away to date over 700 copies of The Science of Getting Rich. Now, why would I do that? Why would I give away books for free? I'm giving away over 700. Karma, baby. Karma. But on the real, I have a very simple philosophy. What you give away, you get to keep. What you give away, the things that I've given to other people, you can't take that back. Can't take that from me. The government can't take that from me. The IRS couldn't take that from me. You could lock me in prison and you can't take back all the things that I gave away. What you give away, you get to keep. I took that very simple philosophy and I took it first to a website where I built a subscriber base of almost 1 million people and made millions of dollars selling things on the internet by first starting with the idea of free, giving them something for free. I've since closed that website down after 18 years, but I did the same concept in network marketing. I started with the idea of free. It's free. Pre-enroll today, and then I would place three people under you. Meaning, I went into the marketplace, and I said, what's the biggest problem with network marketing? And it's the fact that most people never recruit more than two people. And I said, what if I could eliminate that for you? What if I could put three people under you before I ask you to spend any money? And then me and you, it's me and you, to turn around and do it for each of those three. Is it a perfect strategy? No. But I use that strategy to recruit over 100,000 people. 100,000. See, because I once heard that, what? Is it better to give than to receive? Why would Jesus 2,000 years ago teach people it's better to give than to receive? Because he knew as well that what you give away, you get to keep. They can't take it. Caesar can't take it. The king can't take it. Nobody can take it. And it's an internal reward in heaven. The Buddhists call it karma. Every culture and society calls it something different. But you can't take that away. See, you haven't given away 700 copies of this book that can transform lives. Now, I don't know how many lives it's transformed. That's up to the receiver of the gift. But it's been given to them. The information's in their hands, and I've given away thousands of copies of my own book, The Money Flow, and my recent book, You Don't Have to Die Broke. And yes, by giving something away, the law of reciprocity, some of those people feel inclined to do business with me. Some will read my book and say, hey, I like what you wrote. What do you have that I can buy? What do you have that I can buy? See, why would Jesus tell you it's better to give than to receive? Because he understood to receive, you have to first give. That's what the parable means. Those who have, even more will be given, and those who have not, even what they have will be taken. What does that mean? It means just that. That's what gratitude's about. How can I give away 700 copies of a book? Because I'm grateful for the book. And I want to repay the book. And so I began giving them away. And guess what the book did? it brought me thousands of paying customers. A simple gift brought me thousands of customers who pulled out checks, who wrote checks, pulled out credit cards, sent cash. Why? Because I first gave them a gift out of my gratitude. Because I believed, the first step was believe, right? The second step is that you believe that belief will be rewarded, that you believe there's someone to reward you. And third is gratitude. So I kind of reversed the order. I started with the gratitude. Hey, I'm so thankful that I'm born in America. I'm thankful that I can go to Amazon and for a dollar buy a book. And so I could buy 10 books for 30 bucks, give them away, and then 1,000 comes back. So I go buy another 30, I give them away, and 1,000 comes back. And I buy another 30, and I give them away, and another $1,000 comes back. But if you live in a world where every dollar counts, I gotta hold those pennies. I can't give to anyone anything because I got a hold on the mine. You get nothing. It's called The Money Flow. I wrote a book about it in 2008. It's called The Money Flow. And it's a recruiting strategy that I use. It's a strategy that I use to build my website, strategy I use to build a real estate business. It's a strategy I use to recruit over 100,000 people into network marketing without talking to one friend or one family member. I don't know any of these people. Complete strangers, never met any of them in person. It's called The Money Flow. It's understanding how money flows. How does money flow? There's a parable in the Bible where God gave one person one talent, gave one person five talents, and gave another person 10 talents. Now, this isn't to preach to you about religion, but these are ancient words of wisdom. The point is, the reason they put them in the book is because it already made sense. It wasn't a religious context. And the guy he gave one to ran out in his yard and buried it. This is the guy waiting on the world to end. Armageddon's coming soon. You need to buy gold. Don't invest in nothing. The stock market's always going to crash. See, that guy's a loser. That guy's never made money because he doesn't understand, because he lives in a world of fear. Fear. And if you live in that world, I promise you, you will always be broke. Because you can't be fearful and grateful at the same time. It's not possible. And money doesn't come to the fearful. It doesn't. You will always be broke if you're fearful. The second guy he gave five to, and this guy took his five and turned it into 10. He doubled his money. Good job. But here's the problem with that. He was in the most prosperous land there was. He was given the five to start with, and all he did was double it. It ain't good enough. That's the guy that goes around trying to time the market. Oh, no, the market's going to crash. No, it's not. I think I'll pull it out. No, I won't. I'll put it back in. He has no plan. He gets knocked around by the waves. Yeah, he makes a few bucks. He does okay. But formless intelligence, the mind of God, the universal power, it doesn't want you to do okay. What does it want you to do? It wants you to prosper. It wants you to believe. It wants you to receive. And it wants you to be grateful. But there was a guy that he got 10. You know what? He didn't bury his 10. He didn't double his 10. He 10x'd his 10. See, he understood. He didn't buy one rental house. He bought 10 rental houses. He understood the power of compounding and the power of leverage. He understood the power of earning money from money. Because that's the only way you get rich, is earning money for money. As long as you earn your money from just a job, you will always be a day over broke. Because the moment you get sick, the moment you get in a car wreck, the moment you can't work, poverty is knocking on your door. Don't be the guy that hides the one talent. You all have talents. You were born in America, for God's sakes. You're able to listen to podcasts like this and others, and some that are a hell of a lot better. I'm just a guy yapping. I'm just a guy who gives away books. Visit my website, mailpostcardsfromhome.com, and have a great, great weekend. God bless.